Good evening and welcome to the Holmdel Board of Education meeting for January 27, 2021. Statement is hereby made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of Holmdel Township at police headquarters and the public library. Meetings of this board are open to the public and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There will be certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be referred by the president to a board committee and or the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Foster is absent. Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
Mrs. Eng.
Here.
Thank you. Steve, Mike's microphone was kind of really scratchy. I just want to alert you to that. At this point, can you please rise for the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this point of the meeting, we have a special presentation where Dr. Seitz will be presenting the 2020 Exemplary Educator Awards to some of the exemplary educators we have. There's many more, but it's a good night for them. Dr. Seitz, you're up.
Thank you very much. It is really an honor this evening to recognize five educators from the Holmdel School District for the excellent work they've done. And I think it's also important to mention that they represent an extraordinary group of people, and that would be the Holmdel teachers, administrators, and to a degree, the support staff. The excellence here is wonderful, and it is really my honor to speak to those that are here tonight and as well those that can't make it. First person I would like to speak to briefly about is Miss Stacy Campbell. She willingly volunteers to assist in new programs and initiatives and works well with others, and I don't mean that to be funny. She is very strong within her personal skills. She's involved in the school data teams that we have, and she has been instrumental in building capacity among her colleagues in the use of data to improve student outcomes. She also coordinates several community service initiatives for the school, and she's an active member of the INRS team and a mentor for novice teachers. She has provided professional development for the staff at the Village School, and it is no surprise to us that Miss Campbell's students overwhelmingly demonstrate high growth and high achievement on the MAP assessments. So it is my honor to recognize Ms. Stacy Campbell, and we'll say that she gets her award since she can't be here tonight. Stacy, did you want to say something?
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. I would just like to extend my sincere thank you and gratitude to the administration of Holmdel and the Board of Education for honoring us and recognizing us tonight. This is a huge milestone in my career, and I'm happy to share this with Holmdel. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next educator being recognized is Kaylin DeSilvia. What impressed me about her is that she serves as a mentor to new teachers, and I certainly don't want anyone to miscalculate what that means. She is a teacher of teachers, and the work she does provides us years and years of successful teaching for our new teachers. She's highly respected by her colleagues, and she has tremendous command of using data to develop differentiated small group targeted instruction. And she has been a presenter in turnkey data analysis training for school district and school staff. She's an integral part of the school-based data committee, and she's also a valued member of the Indian Hills School SKIP committee, which provides tremendous input to us as we try to improve the district. On standard assessments, including the MAP program and the New Jersey Student Learning Assessment, her students have demonstrated 100% growth time and time again, which is a true testament to her teaching abilities and her rapport with her students. Because she works with her colleagues, we are beginning to see improvement in student achievement over colleagues that have voluntarily co-planned with her. We recognize Kaylin tonight. Congratulations. And again, we will get you your certificate as soon as we can. And unfortunately, she was not able to attend this evening. Thank you, Kaylin. Next, we have a gentleman I know quite well. We're recognizing Mr. Art Howard, principal of Village. I learned some things about Mr. Howard that I didn't know when working with him. I didn't realize he has a strong counseling background, and this really has enabled him to work and connect with students, parents, and teachers to support the students so they reach their full potential. I know from my personal experience that he is an inspirational leader, and he is willing to use his own past experiences to provide motivation to staff and students. His staff highly respects him, as evidenced by the relationship he shares with them and the trust they have in his leadership abilities. In his work ethic and his decision-making process, he is always looking at what is in the best interest of the students he serves. He has developed a data team in his school. Before this was standard practice in many school districts, and he continues to work with his teachers to increase the use of data to inform decision-making as it relates to improving the instructional program and increasing student achievement. Mr. Howard also works well with his colleagues in supporting their needs and addressing any concerns, as he is the president of our local administrators association. It's my pleasure to recognize Mr. Art Howard this evening.
Good evening. Thank you, everyone. Most people know me for long-winded speeches, but I'm not really going to give one tonight. I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to the board. Thank you to those who nominated me. It's a great honor, and I appreciate the respect shown. So thank you. One victory for me is a victory for us all. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Next, remotely, we're going to recognize Ms. Rebecca Waddell. She is an integral member of the data team and regularly volunteers to turnkey data analysis with her colleagues. And if you see I'm using data team frequently, that's because that is a major emphasis in the district, and the people we're recognizing here this evening have played a leadership role in implementing the use of data to inform instruction. She has served as a literacy coach, interventionist, gifted and talented teacher, and general education teacher at Indian Hill for the past 18 years. She has demonstrated highly effective instructional practices, again, as evidenced by student growth in our MAP assessment program and the New Jersey Student Learning Assessment Program. She is constantly seeking ways to continue to evolve her skills as a teacher and a coach. In her role as a literacy coach and data leader, she is an excellent recipient of this award, and we congratulate her on this honor this evening. Rebecca, thank you. You want to say a few words?
Yes, I'm so thankful for this acknowledgement, as it represents not only my efforts, but the outstanding work of all of the colleagues I've partnered with over the years. And I'd also like to thank my administrators and those who nominated me for this award. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, we'll get you your certificate as soon as possible. Our last recipient, but certainly not least, is Nicole Ward. She is here this evening, and we appreciate that. Ms. Ward serves on the District Educational Advisory Committee, DEAC. This is a very important committee within the school district, as they provide input and recommendations to the district, to the administration, to the board, for the things that we're doing in the district, especially in the area of student growth. She's an active member of the full-day kindergarten committee, kindergarten program committee, and she has served as chairperson of her school's building instructional council, where she leads that group. She is a member of the school's standard-based assessment design committee, which helped us move to a standard, is helping us move to a standards-based report card in the elementary schools. She is dedicated and thoughtful professional who always makes an effort to accommodate all of her students in the classroom, and she willingly shares her experience with her colleagues and is known as a go-to person for many of our teachers. We are proud to congratulate Nicole Ward on receiving this award this evening. Nicole?
This is such an honor. Thank you to all who nominated. Thank you. This is such an honor, and I appreciate the congratulations and all of those who nominated me in this award. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, everyone, and congratulations to all of our fabulous teachers, our administrators, for your accomplishments. At this point in the meeting, we go to our student representatives for their report.
Hi, good evening and Happy New Year. I hope 2021 has treated you well so far. The students at HHS are currently getting used to the new schedule, and it seems as though everyone is adjusting. And winter sports season is currently underway, with boys and girls basketball along with hockey having games today. And we would like to wish all winter sports athletes a successful and safe season. And the high school has recently started something called On a Positive Note. The way it works is a teacher slash staff member recognizes a student for their positive behavior slash impact, and the student receives a note, a handwritten note by said teacher slash staff member. You can see our current recipients on the Holmdel High School Twitter. And thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Jide. Happy New Year to you too.
Hi, thank you.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone had a great start to the new year. Recently, Holmdel High School had its first ever meeting of the President's Council. The President's Council consists of the Student Advisory Board members, as well as presidents of all the clubs we have at Holmdel High School. The goal of the President's Council is to bring students of Holmdel High School together through charity work and increasing our school spirit. We would like to thank Mr. Brown, Ms. Hertel, and Ms. Lepore, and all the club advisors for their efforts in making this possible. And that's all I have, and I hope everyone stays safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope all's well. Dr. Seitz, if you could give your report.
Thank you, Madam President. My report this evening is really about the district's move to a full day program at Village and Indian Hill and a full day of instruction at the complex, the SATs and the high school. That involves 4 hours of in-person instruction in the morning and 2 afternoon classes. The significance of these two programs is that it dramatically increases the time our teachers spend with our students, and to me that is priceless. We've been doing it now for a little over 3.5 weeks. I think it is running very smoothly, and if we can ever figure out the lunch situation at SATs and the high school, we'll move to a full day program there. A lot of times when we talk about this program, I don't emphasize enough that this shift gives the students 5 days a week of instruction in person. And while the numbers were a little light right after the winter break, we have seen an increase in the number of students who are participating in the in-school program. I was at Indian Hill this morning and was informed that at that school, we're up to about 60% of our students attending in an in-person 5-day-a-week full-day program. I also was able to witness the lunch program, and that is running very smoothly. As you know, the students either bring their lunch or they purchase one from our food service provider. Again, it runs very smoothly, properly supervised, and because of the cleaning protocols that we have in place, there is an adequate amount of cleaning being done during the school day. Things are sanitized and disinfected throughout the school day. When I was there, we had some of our custodians wiping down handrails on the staircases and certainly throughout the classrooms. They wipe down the desks after the lunch periods. So I think overall, in terms of attendance, the program is good. I hope it's getting better. And it's my hope with the greater availability of vaccine that many of our teachers will take advantage of that opportunity and therefore reduce the anxiety that many of them have, justifiably, about COVID being affecting them. I think it is really important that we take a few minutes here to really acknowledge the work that our teachers and administrators and support staff are doing. We are asking a lot of our teachers. They're in a situation that they were never trained for, and technology has evolved so rapidly that many of our teachers who have been out of college for 10, 15, or 20 years really have not had the experience that those students in college and those new teachers have. And I think it's important that we recognize, publicly acknowledge, that they are doing a tremendous job. I'm concerned that they won't lower their expectations, and that just pushes them harder and harder, and easily could create additional stress. I think it's important that we encourage our teachers to recognize that this is not a normal school year, that we're not going to be able to cover 100% of the printed curriculum, the approved curriculum, but we are making great progress towards that. And we do acknowledge and recognize and really commend our teachers, because in my opinion, there's nothing better than our students interacting with their classroom teacher. and of course the other supplemental teachers as well, that interpersonal reaction, that one-on-one contact that takes place during the day, is so critical to the social and emotional welfare of our students. And while it is challenging, our teachers have they've accepted the challenge, and in my opinion and feedback from Dr. Charney and other people, building administrators and supervisors, it is clear that they are doing an exceptional job. And I'll end my report by simply commending them for the outstanding job they're doing, and hope that as we go through this spring, the issue of COVID-19 begins to decrease dramatically and our teachers and students get back to a more normal, traditional program. And that concludes my report this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. Okay, we do not have any harassment, intimidation, or bullying report, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then we're off to committee reports. Mr. Sokol, would you like to go first?
Well, I would. I don't have any reports to report on.
Okay, I was just wondering.
No,
you reporting on anything tonight?
No, I will. I will say the one committee that Elizabeth and I co-chair, which is the diversity committee, we will be meeting in about a week or two to take a look at a report from the administration regarding the progress that they've made on this issue, and we're hoping that there'll be a presentation ready for the rest of the board at the February meeting.
Thank you. Ms. Briamonte, do you have a report?
Sure. Budget and Finance met on January 21st at 7 p.m. The first thing we talk about is the referendum updates. And at Village and Indian School, there are some punch list items that remain that will be addressed as the weather becomes more favorable. Similarly, at SATS in the high school, same thing. We have some punch list items that will remain to be addressed and will be addressed as the weather becomes favorable there as well. Also, the CCTV at the complex, all the underground trenching for the fiber optics to Rogie Field have been completed, along with the rough wiring for the cameras. The security lighting for the new camera has been installed on the field poles. All the rough wiring for the installation of the cameras at both Indian Hill and Village have been completed. And once the camera installation is completed at the complex, the camera installations will continue at Indian Hill and Village. We also talked about the retro commissioning and how that process is complete for all the schools in the district. And a commissioning report is in the process of being finalized by Gray Hawk. The report will entail recommendations along with proposed preventative maintenance measures and added recommendations to help the continued longevity of the existing equipment. We talked about the readiness planning for schools reopening. We continue to receive some positive feedback on all the measures that were taken, which are not limited to bipolar ionization filtration, UVC lighting throughout the entire district, walk-through infrared body temperature detectors, isolation rooms if needed, antimicrobial tape and antimicrobial coatings, and detailed cleaning and disinfecting throughout the facilities. And finally, all the PPE equipment and other supplies and materials that are continued to be used throughout the district. We also talked about the 2019-2020 comprehensive annual financial report update. The administration is working with the district auditors, who are PFK O'Connor Davies, to complete the 2019-2020 CAPRA and to ensure compliance with the February 5th, 2021 submission deadline. PKF O'Connor Davies will be presenting the results of the audit at the February 24th board meeting. We talked about item number 10 on the agenda, the 2021 revised grant awards. We reviewed the revised grants that will be included on the tonight's agenda. We also talked about the acceptance of the additional 2021 chapter 192-193 funding, which is agenda item 37. Finally, we talked about the 2021-22 budget procedures calendar. The committee discussed the budget procedures and the calendar timeline, and board members are encouraged to contact the business office with any questions. And finally, we set our next committee meeting for February 18th at 6:30. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, quick one. I'm not sure if you or Mike might know it. On the CARES stuff, so that's like $135,000 total. Is there a time frame we have to use that money by? And could that money disappear if we don't use it in time? Meaning like if the government, you know, or is it once it's in the bucket, it's ours to use indefinitely?
Yeah, we have plenty of time. It extends into the following year as well. So it extends into the 21-22 year. But I anticipate that we'll certainly utilize those funds before the year's out, but certainly by the end of the grant period.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, can I move on to Pete Reddy, since the camera's already on you?
Sure, thank you. Well, the Buildings and Grounds and committee meeting or committee met on the same day, actually an hour and a half prior to that. Covered a lot of the same topics, so thank you, Eileen, for reading out most of them. The interior renovations, the CCTV project, all the same overlapping items in addition to the readiness. And then the other two items that were on our committee was the district maintenance. So the Buildings and Grounds Department were performing weekly checks of the White House on the front of the property. So if everyone remembered a couple of years ago when the referendum started, we bought the Lupkert House. So that house isn't just going to sit there. So the inspections include, but are not limited to, interior and exterior physical condition checks, as well as the inspection of the grounds. And because of this, these inspections are leading to a multitude of beautification projects around the campus, including the meditation garden, Rogie Field ticket booths, and concession stands. So if the public's listening, if there's other things that you see that's out there that you could say, hey, this would be a good thing for the district, definitely bring it to the administration's attention or even the board's attention. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're here is, hey, let's continue to improve what we have out there. We also had Matt Kokoda, the athletic director, attend our meeting and go over the 2021 winter sports schedule. And of course, you know, Matt said the athletic department will adhere to Executive Order 204 and the NJSIAA season adjustments to accommodate indoor athletics at the high school level, middle school level, and for outside user groups. After a number of meetings between the athletics departments and the operations department, a set of guidelines for safe use of facilities has been developed for all the users. And additionally, the parties met with the president of HYA to develop a plan for the use of the facility safely. And that was pretty much it. Our next meeting is scheduled February 18th at 5 p.m. Any questions?
Thanks, Pete. Mrs. Urbanski, do you have your curriculum and instruction report?
I do. I just would like to thank you for letting me be the head of curriculum and instruction. I really consider it an honor to have this responsibility. My notes are a little long, so I apologize in advance. The committee met remotely on Thursday, January 21st at 9:30 a.m. for its curriculum and instruction special services committee meeting. The committee discussed items recommended by the interim superintendent for approval, including but not limited to out-of-district travel, staff and professional presenters for February 12th PD day, inner orbit pilot science and social studies programs for grades 5 through 12, book discard lists, ESSER funds for 2021 and 21-22 school years, donation of books by Jersey Central Power and Light for Martin Luther King Day, student teacher clinical practices observation field experience, revised testing dates, and homebound instruction. Unified sports will commence in February. There will be a basketball and a new unified cheer program that was formed through the collaboration of Coach Mendez, athletic supervisor Matt Kokoda, and Merrill Gill. Merrill Gill presented a review of the Rutgers Consultant Program. The district utilizes one full-time therapist and one part-time therapist who consult on topics ranging from crisis intervention to helping staff with a program on prevention. The Rutgers program is separate from the school, so there is a layer of confidentiality provided to the student. Information is only shared with the school district if there are issues that would fall under crisis protocols. It was explained that while guidance helps students deal with how issues impact education, the Rutgers consultants address the root of the mental health concerns. The majority of students that use these services were in Indian Hill and the high school. It was noted that there is a lot of anxiety for students when they transfer from one school to the next, for example, from Indian Hill to SATS. There is a discussion to create a transfer forum that can target students who exhibit anxiety and school phobia when moving schools. Given the level of stress and anxiety in the student population, a wellness room is being created in the schools, which will be a place for the students to, quote, chill out during study hall lunch or possibly after school. Merrill Gill presented the STARS program, which is an inclusive course for 18 to 21-year-olds. This is a postgraduate program is designed for students with IEPs who are not following the traditional route and helps to train them to become employable citizens in the community. The STARS program will be in the 21-22 program of studies as part of the curriculum. Dr. Charney compared the fall 2019 MAP data to the fall 2020 MAP data and noted there is a learning loss with reference to projected proficiency in grade 6 math and grade 3 ELA. For grades 5 and 6, there has been a decline in performance. Wait a minute, I lost my place. In math. For grades 2 and 6, there's a decline in performance in ELA. Currently, the district is using CARES money for after-school supplemental teaching for students that have been identified. A recent identification of 17 students from Village have been referred to an in-school supplemental program also funded by CARES. The district hopes to expand this program to K through 6. While this has grown organically, the district is applying for an ASSL grant to get funding to create a more formal program for the 2021-22 school years. Dr. Chiney discussed some benefits of using the Linkit assessments. By utilizing this CUM assessment program, the district is able to track students' progress in relationship to state standards. Specific skills will be trackable and skill-based goals will be set for each individual student. A real value of utilizing Linkit and MAP for common assessments during the pandemic is that we can specifically identify and target learning loss. While the state had mandated to not require SGOs for teacher evaluations, the administration informed the teaching staff that SGOs will be measured this year in order for teachers to track student academic progress, a goal set by the board. Elementary schools, there's identified need for a reading specialist, such as a certified Wilson specialist who can target students with personalized approaches. On January 5th, 2021, a letter was sent to parents with students currently taking AP classes. This letter recognized the importance of taking the AP for college readiness and stated that the district would be paying for the student exam fees. Our students have registered for 788 AP exams, which is a substantial increase from the 550 exams that were taken by our students last year. Having the district cover the cost of the AP exams makes access to the tests equitable for all students. Dr. Charney noted that the AP exam is a more comprehensive review of the subject than the SAT subject area tests. Since SAT subject area tests and essays have been canceled, it is beneficial that so many of our students will be taking the AP exams this year because the colleges will be focusing more on these tests during college admissions process. There has been discussion of adding more AP classes to the curriculum. Two have been added for the 21-22, and another two capstone AP courses are currently being reviewed. The Inner Orbit pilot program targets grades 5 through 12 with the aim of improving academic and academic science and social studies vocabulary, thereby improving informational text reading and test scores that have been identified through testing analysis as lacking. The pilot will be for 5th and 6th grades in the 21-22 school year with the aim of broadening the range of grades. Amendments have been made to the spring testing calendar for standardized tests required by the New Jersey Department of Education. In order to minimize testing fatigue, math and science tests have been positioned 1 to 2 weeks apart. The science NJSOA, which is not required for graduation, has been moved to the end of the testing period. The district has been using the free version of Securely, which filters and blocks inappropriate websites and material on school-owned devices while also detecting search activity and site visits that may indicate a student may be considering self-harm or harming others. We have upgraded to the paid version, which has an enhanced alert analysis and service. The upgrade will also mitigate cheating on assessments by blocking tabs that are not related to this assessment given and giving teachers enhanced visual contact with the students. This service will be deployed in the next few weeks, and a letter will be sent home to parents detailing the services. A discussion about the Naviance College and Career software used by guidance took place. There are Naviance services such as Resume Builder and Career Interest Profile that are not being fully utilized by our students. There is a concern that data on Naviance about college acceptances and attendance is not comprehensive or up to date. While Naviance is presently being used for college applications, it has larger applications that should be utilized. There was this discussion on how this software could be used more effectively going forward, with the possibility of having a person from Naviance come in to train. 40 students have applied to test for the ALIRA, which is Latin, and AAPPL, which is all foreign languages, seals of biliteracy. Inquiries have been made by board members on the status of special services audit. Dr. Seitz is in the process of working on setting this up. Thank you. Oh, our next meeting date is to be determined.
Any questions for Elizabeth? That was a thorough report. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
That was one of the most thorough, comprehensive, and understandable reports from curriculum instruction I've heard in a long time.
I have a question.
But I do have a question and a comment, if I could. The first question or comment, I guess, for you, Lee, or for Dr. Charney, as we begin to move more and more towards expanding our AP program, are we going to look at our accelerated classes and see what value they're bringing and whether or not maybe it's time to compress the two and take accelerated classes out of the mix and just have AP classes?
I have had some conversations with Dr. Charney, not only about that, but just looking at the entire curriculum. I would emphasize that this is a long-term goal and objective that we're going to be looking at. But certainly as we look to improve student achievement, we certainly have to look at the curriculum we're offering. And I think we can, again, extend our search and our research beyond just that particular item. There are programs out there. There are longstanding curriculums that some schools across the nation and really literally internationally have implemented that we're going to be taking a look at to determine whether what we're currently doing is the best way to increase our student achievement, or do we have to look at alternatives? And I keep going back, and I know I've said this before, I keep going back to an old book called Good to Great. And part of our philosophy as we examine what we're currently doing, I don't think there's any question that Homedale is a really good school district and that student achievement is good. The question is, how do you become great? And sometimes you have to stop doing what made you good and do something else to become great. So we're looking at what we're doing to determine if it's something we want to keep, something we want to replace or modify. But that is a long-term process. And considering what we have on our plate at the moment, I would say that would be something that would be deferred to the 21-22 school year at the earliest, other than the short or the limited changes we're making right now in the spring of 21 for the 21-22 year school year. But certainly that's high on our list of things to accomplish during the time we are here.
I certainly would encourage you and Dr. Charney as part of that effort to examine ways that we might be able to incorporate actual college classes to be accessed by seniors who wish to take that route. It's taking the AP concept and making it to another step. The other question I had for you is, I'm assuming that the Inner Orbit pilot program will in a way address some of the MAP score deficiencies that were uncovered.
I believe so, but I really need to speak to Dr. Charney before giving you a complete answer on that.
Does Dr. Charney want to respond to that? I know you're... I see him on the...
Dr. Charney, can you respond to that question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, yes. Okay.
So, yes, I can respond to that. So, as Elizabeth stated, examination of our... part of our MAP and Linkit scores, specifically informational text, which is heavy on tier three vocabulary and tier two vocabulary, which in English means highly technical vocabulary, is something that we want to address with this pilot program. So I worked with this with Inner Orbit in another district. It's very good. And it uses current text, sort of current, what used to be called current events, but current text in science and social studies to capture academic vocabulary. And it has an internal assessment scheme, so that the teachers can gauge their student growth month to month or marking period to marking period. So we're engaged in a free pilot program. We're going to assess how the pilot's done for us by the end of the year, and then we will be able to proceed as to whether we want to purchase this or not. And just a comment to Mike's idea about our AP courses. The way we see the AP curriculum is, and this is what the College Board envisions too, is the AP, it'll be an AP Academy in effect. And I think this competes with what really is known as the International Baccalaureate Program. So that if you build your AP program, and that's why we're looking at two additional courses, they're called capstone courses. One's in research and design, which we actually do here anyway. It's a very well-structured research program that we run, and it has a large participation. So I think your point is well taken. There is some duplicity in our honors courses and our AP courses. So Dr. Seitz and I will, and teaching staff will examine, along with our supervisors, of course, the merit of really not duplicating these courses and going toward, really, as I see, would be an AP magnet program. We're three quarters of the way there as it is. We have more offerings than most districts that I know of in the AP curriculum. And as Elizabeth stated, we're going to continue to look at adding courses as the College Board makes these available.
Thank you.
I have a question or a comment on Jeff. Last year, we just since you were talking about the AP courses, it would still be very helpful that every year we get an update on those courses that we offer, number of kids taking the tests, just basically the blocking and tackling of what we have within the district, because that should be very readily available information, just as much as knowing what the average SAT score is in this district is, because I think that tells you really where the district is and what they're doing. But I did have, Elizabeth, two quick questions or requests maybe. Knowing that obviously this is a very different year for kids that have juniors, seniors, you know, preparing for college, I think it'd be really great to hear from our counselors in the high school what's good, what's bad, weaknesses, strengths, you know, have them come in and talk to us and tell us what's actually going on, because you don't really hear much. And, you know, after hearing about how much we're not using Naviance, I tremble, and I know so many parents, and there's probably a lot on the listening to the call now, so many parents pay for college counseling, and that's fine, but I believe the counselors should be the first line of defense, and they should be getting to know these students from freshman year, sophomore year, all the way through senior year, so they know where these kids should go, could go, and may want to go. So if you could do that, I think that'd be really good information. I'd love to hear what they say, because I got to believe it's a very interesting time. And then the second one would be, Dr. Seitz or Jeff, knowing that we've had a lot of new courses put in this year, is it possible we can get sort of an update how the, like a robotics class, how the SAT class, how those classes are going, you know, halfway through, just so if there are issues that we could actually adjust mid-year as opposed to waiting until next year to adjust the brand new class. I mean, I've heard really good things. I know SAT course, talking to different people, we're using Princeton review books when, you know, the College Boards is the one that gives that test, I think, the SAT. I don't have kids taking SATs, but, you know, things like that. I, like, wonder why we would do those things and maybe make adjustments for next year if we continue to make these classes better. So, and I think that's it. Thank you.
I would even sort of provide the board through the curriculum committee an update on the new courses.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the one thing I would want everyone to keep in mind that a school, especially a high school, is a very complicated institution, and we have to be cautious in how we move forward, and we have to take time to study the situation and identify and define the needs that we have and the things that we're doing well, because it's so easy to have unintended, unanticipated consequences if we aren't critically aware of what we're doing and what the impact would be. So, you know, you have a strong program now, but again, I would emphasize that because of where we are, January of 21, we are more than likely looking at significant curriculum changes, if at all, in the 2022-23 school year, because there's a cycle of usually 12 to 18 months to develop a curriculum, train the teachers, and implement it. So, again, this is not something we want to do overnight. It's something we want to be very cautious about. And at this point, Jeff and I have been here about 6 months, and we certainly don't have a good history of the district. We're still learning about the district. And again, I would be very cautious about making any significant changes until we've had a good chance to spend more time in the district and speak to our teachers who are implementing the curriculum and looking at the test results and the student data that is generated through the instructional program. But we certainly will get an update for you on those new courses.
Thanks,
Pete. I have some questions here regarding the item six. So, you know, we have some improvement we needed to do on the MAP test data for the grade 2 and 6, because the decline in performance in the ERA. I know that's great. You know, we have in-school supplement program for the kids we identified they need help. And we are going to expand this program to K-6. Is there, I mean, that's really, I agree with you. That's really help improve, you know, help the kids who need help to improve their academic excellence. Is there any root analysis on this? And for long term, how could we keep the you want to keep the program running, or we want to apply this to more kids, or you have any plan on this?
Dr. Seitz or Dr. Charney, would you like to respond to Linda's comment, question?
I really could not hear all the comments and questions that were made.
My question, I can repeat my question. Do you have cost analysis why we have a, you know, the performance on grade 2 and 6 declined performance on UA? Okay.
Oh, it's a little muffled. We were having trouble hearing you, Linda, from this side.
I think it's about the map data, which was, is that what you're talking about?
My question is regarding, you know, the item 6.
The decline in the math for grades 2 and 6 ELA, is that what you're talking about, Linda?
Let me repeat it. So my question is for the item 6 and for the map for 2019 and for 2020, the data we compared, and we know there's for grade 2 and grade 6, there have been declining performance in the ERA. I just say, you know, we have a solution provided here to see we're going to have an in-school supplemental program to help these 17 students and who needed to help. I think that's great. But do you have root cause analysis for why we have a decline of the performance? And then I think from that perspective, maybe we not only target to the 17 students, we can to improve more on all the students there. Okay. On this grade.
Dr. Charney has told me he can respond to your question. Jeff?
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we can, Jeff.
Thank you for the question. The answer is we are continuing to track the data. The data map was from last September. September more than a year ago, the last academic year to 2020. So it would be 2019 to 2020 where we experienced probably about 6 to 7 months of academic slide. And it showed up in several grade bands, the ones that were named by Elizabeth. So what we are doing presently is continuing our MAP testing. The second MAP test has just been concluded. That's the winter MAP. And we will see specifically how students have done from September 20 up until last week in their ELA and math knowledge. Once we've identified students that are deficit in their knowledge, we have a supplemental program in place, and this is funded by CARES. It's an after-school program. It consists of six supplemental teachers at this point. And we will invite those students to gain extra targeted help on the specific standards that they show a deficit in learning. So that's ongoing. We also, as Elizabeth stated, applied for another larger grant. It's for $156,000 that would expand our abilities to help students that have fallen behind. Nationally, this we're aware of this, and Elizabeth had forwarded me an article about learning loss that in a community such as ours may be anywhere from, it was 6 to 9 months. In math, for example, mathematics. ELA is slightly less of a learning loss. But so we're on top of that. This, we need to address it. We're preparing to meet the problem. And as soon as that MAP testing session is concluded, which should be next week, we're doing the makeup tests. We'll have data, which we will assemble the data teams of each building, mainly in Village and Indian Hill, and we'll identify students that have that learning loss, and we will address it. Thank you.
Thank you for your answer.
And I would just, for the public's information, this evening, item 10, you'll see the board will be approving a grant to help fund those programs. And we also have item 11 is a grant application to fund those programs. And one is for 2021, the other is for 21-22.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for your questions. And thank you to Dr. Charney, the administrative staff, the principals, the supervisors, the teachers, for doing everything that we can to keep evaluating where our students are during this pandemic. I think, again, Homedale will demonstrate it's ahead of the game on these issues, and your hard work is not unnoticed by the board. It's appreciated. Thank you. Great. I think that's all our committee reports. So I will ask.
Vicki, I got one if you want to do
this. Oh, sorry, Joe.
Is it for CR?
Yes.
You forgot
sorry.
About CR. The Community Relations Committee met on Friday the 22nd. We discussed the Community Relations Services. The district processed a PO to River Crossing Strategy Group for Strategic Communication Services. Tim White will be our main contact with the firm. Tim's expertise is in proactive communication strategies, and the committee discussed the services he can provide regarding social media, COVID communications, and press releases. We also discussed social media and the COVID communications that have been going out, and the need for coordinated messaging across the district from the superintendent and the principals. The committee recommended that the superintendent and principals have messages and emails versus links to an online letter or communication. The committee wanted to limit the number of clicks to get the information to students and parents and the community in general. The district also has social media properties like Facebook and Twitter that do not seem to be updated, and the administration will address this. And then daily messages, photos from the schools were discussed and recommended by the committee on social media. So we want to take advantage of our social media platforms as much as we can to exchange information with the community. In terms of the website and the Indian Hill and High School digital signage, we just recommended that the administration update and freshen the content on the website and these digital signage and tech, and recommend that principals check to see that the Homedale High School and Indian Hill digital signage are regularly updated as well. We discussed some dissatisfaction that some board members had with the current staircase logo or for Homedale. And we also discussed the Innovate to Elevate model that was developed in several workshops with attendance from all aspects of the Homedale district, parents, staff, administration, students, and community members. The committee had mixed impressions on the motto as well as the logo. We also discussed a possible competition from the students to come up with recommendations for a new design. In terms of action items coming out of the committee, Lee's gonna work with Tim White and have Tim present to the CR committee his analysis of the district's communications deficiencies and recommendations and plans for improving communication, transparency, and timeliness at our next meeting. The administration is also going to gather and present logos to the CR committee for review at our next meeting, and I'm going to pull the board to kind of get input on the logo and the Innovate to Elevate motto, perceptions, and recommendations. Our next meeting is Friday, February 19th at 12 p.m., and the CR committee will take place regularly the Friday before the board meetings throughout the year, in case any of the board members have updates or information or agenda items that they would wish to add to that committee. And that's my report.
Thanks, Joe. Any questions? Thank you, Joe. Your notes were neat. I felt like they were already burned into my skull. So I'm sorry I didn't call on you. But
no problem.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time, though, to reach out, especially on the communication piece and getting information out. I mean, there's just so much information people are craving right now, and we have to make sure that it's getting out there accurately and quickly so people can see it. So thank you for getting on top of that. I appreciate it. At this point in the meeting, we're going to have questions or comments from the public on action items only. So those are the items on the agenda. There's two raised hands, Steve. There's a person named Tucker and then a Carrie Barrero.
Hi, this is Tucker.
Hi, Tucker.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can you put your name and address? And this is the point of the public meeting where on the agenda items only.
On agenda items only. I'm not sure what that expands to. What does that mean? All
right. If it's on anything that we are voting on tonight, then you feel free. Otherwise, our public session on any other items is that after we vote on all the agenda items.
Okay. If that's the case, then I'll defer to the later session. When will that be? Because I have a very important comment I need to make.
It will take, as soon as this comment's over, it usually takes us maybe less than 5 minutes to do.
Okay. Then I will wait and I will re-raise my hands, but I would just like to comment on what happened last night. And I look forward to talking more about it.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll hold you. And I think Carrie Barrero, she sent a message via email. She was going to comment on something that's not an agenda item. So I'd ask to hold Carrie's comments till the end of the meeting after we vote. Seeing no other questions, we're going to move on to action items. Can I have a motion for items number 1 through 3, 5 through 15, 18 to 42?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Sopa.
Yes.
Mr. Eddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Brignani.
Yes.
Mr. Roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Eddy.
Yes.
Mike, you're done with roll call, correct?
Yes, motion passes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it. I apologize. Item number 4, approval of New Jersey School Board Association Code of Ethics training session. The Board of Education members have discussed the School Ethics Act and the Board Member Code of Ethics as required under NJAC 6A32-3.2. Resolved that the New Jersey School Boards Association Code of Ethics is set forth in NJSA 18A 12-24.1 shall be considered the official code of ethics of the Homedale Township Board of Education. And at this point of the meeting, the board members will all take on their numbered items. I'll start with number 1. I will uphold and enforce all laws, rules, and regulation of the State Board of Education and court orders pertaining to schools. Desired changes shall be brought about only through legal and ethical procedures. Mr. Sacco.
I will make decisions in terms of the educational welfare of children and will seek to develop and maintain public schools that meet the individual needs of all children, regardless of their ability, race, creed, sex, or social standing.
I will confine my board actions to policymaking, planning, and appraisal, and I will help to frame policies and plans only after the board has consulted those who will be affected by them. I will carry out my responsibility not to administer the schools, but together with my fellow board members to see that they are well run.
Ms. Zhang, could you read item number 5?
Okay, I will recognize the authority rests with the Board of Education and will make no personal promises nor take any private action that might compromise the board.
Number 6, I will refuse to surrender my independent judgment to special interests or partisan political groups or to use the schools for personal gain or for the gain of friends.
Number seven, I will hold confidential all matters pertaining to the schools, which, if disclosed, would needlessly injure individuals or the schools. In all other matters, I will provide accurate information and, in concert with my fellow board members, interpret to the staff the aspirations of the community for its school.
I will vote to appoint the best qualified personnel available after consideration of the recommendation of the Chief Administrative Officer.
I will support and protect school personnel and proper performance of their duties. I will refer all complaints to the Chief Administrative Officer and will act on the complaints at public meetings only after failure of an administrative solution.
Thank you. Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion. Just so you all know, I already talked to Mr. Green, and we're going to have some training on this at some point, especially when we have our retreat, which I know Elizabeth Urbanski, we have to schedule our retreat to definitely do that. And we'll do our ethics training that's more expanded upon during that session. Have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sokol?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Brimonti?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Item number 16. Mrs. Brimonti, would you please read that retirement resolution?
16, acceptance of retirement mathematics teacher at the Holmdel High School. Whereas Mr. Jason Lewis has served the Holmdel Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2000. And whereas Mr. Lewis has faithfully executed his duties with skill and competency. And whereas Mr. Lewis has earned the respect of his colleagues and community residents. And whereas Mr. Lewis has submitted a letter announcing his retirement from the Holmdel Township School District effective July 1, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Holmdel Township Board of Education accepts Mr. Lewis's retirement with deep gratitude for Mr. Lewis's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Mr. Lewis its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, have a roll call, please.
She didn't hear you.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, congratulations, Mr. Lewis, and enjoy your retirement.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Brimonti.
Yes, and I just want to add a comment. Mr. Lewis has taught both of my girls in computer science, and they've both had really good experiences. So, of course, I just want to say thank you and congratulations, and I hope you have a wonderful retirement.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations. Enjoy your retirement.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, congratulations, and enjoy more on your free time now.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Item number 17. Mr. Reddy, would you please read that resolution?
Sure, be my pleasure. Acceptance of retirement English teacher W.R. Satz School. Whereas Ms. Kathleen Klinger has served Holmdel Township Public Schools with distinction since May 1st, 2000, and whereas Ms. Klinger has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Klinger has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Klinger has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Holmdel Township School District effective February 1st, 2021, now therefore be it resolved that the Holmdel Township Board of Education accept Ms. Klinger's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Klinger's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Klinger its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Great. Can I have a motion for item number 17?
Second.
Discussion?
20 years.
Hearing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, best wishes, Ms. Klinger. Enjoy your retirement.
Yes.
Mr. Ruddy?
Yes, thank you for 20 years of service.
Mrs. Brillanti?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Wall?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, and best wishes on your retirement.
Mrs. Zane?
Yes, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. Board members, any old business?
90 seconds, I promise, 90 seconds. Earlier at the beginning of the meeting, the superintendent outlined the excellent work that our teachers are doing, and I think everyone here on the board would second that. We would be remiss if we didn't also extend our thanks to the great work that you and Dr. Charney have done in providing leadership for the administration and for the staff and the teachers. And I did want to make sure that I extended thanks for the good work that you've been doing in leading this district. Thank you.
I had a comment, Vicki. Can we get an update on I remember a few months ago we started talking about the Holmdel Hall of Fame. I didn't think Matt Kokoda was going to take the lead on that. Any idea we'd get an update by next month or so where we're at? You know, I know there was a lot that goes into that project that wasn't going to happen overnight. I know they were working on all the banners, getting updated in the gym, and all the artifacts when we renovated the, you know, during the whole referendum. Just want to see where we're going with that, because that's, you know, and then obviously if there's committees we should be getting from older alumni, old teachers, whatever it is, get that going. Otherwise, we'll never get off the ground.
Certainly.
Pete, have you seen the banners? They've been posting some pictures on Twitter. They're really awesome. It looks really nice in the gyms.
The new banners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look great.
I saw them, I think, during the summer. They were in the... they weren't hung yet. They had just gotten a bunch of them, and they looked really, really nice.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
So thank you for all the efforts going into getting those updated. Looks great.
Any other old business? Any new business, board members?
I got an easy one, just because I've heard a few people ask. Calendar, we do that next month, or is it March?
We'll have that for you at the February board meeting.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Just because I know a lot of public are sort of interested, and God forbid they might be able to go on vacation and all those good things that might happen again. So people are eagerly looking forward to when they'll be off. Thanks.
It should be easier than years past. We have a lot to schedule around. Anyone else? As promised to Tucker and Carrie, this is the point of the meeting where you have questions or comments from the public on any other items. So if you want to bring them over, Steve, who are you going to bring over first?
Hi, this is Tucker.
Hi, Tucker.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
can.
Hi,
how are you? My name is Tucker Brennan. My address is 207 Oaks Avenue. And I never thought I'd be calling into a Holmdel board meeting. But there was some incredibly, I'm very happy you guys read your ethics speech, because there was some incredibly unethical behavior from one of your own board members, Mr. Wall, who dialed into our Middletown board meeting last night and gave a political speech about how wonderful reopening has been, which it sounds like things are going well. So I'm very happy for you there. But Middletown is a different district. It is not Mr. Wall's business to call Middletown and dictate policy to us. It is four times the size of Holmdel with smaller buildings. Mr. Wall, what you did was shameful. And we are going to initiate an ethics complaint against you. So be aware. That's all.
Thank you for your comment. Since you referred to a legal matter, I really can't say anything except I have to leave that to my attorney.
Mrs. Flynn, would you like me to comment? Or
yes.
Briefly? Yeah, the only thing I will say is that Board of Education members have a First Amendment right to express their personal opinions on matters of public interest under our free speech. And as long as they are acting as a private citizen, they are not really acting on behalf of the Board of Education. They are expressing their own personal opinions. They have every right to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Ms. Barrero?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm going to address the same thing in Middletown. I'm Carrie Barrero. I live in Middletown. I have two students that go to North. I'd like to address Terrence Wall's inappropriate call to Middletown last night, introducing himself as a Home Del board member. So clearly you wanted to know you were a board member. So that's you working on behalf and as a representative of Home Del Board of Ed. To insert yourself as some authority as the, in the goings on of Middletown Public Schools is unaggressive. You went from passive aggressive, then you just turned straight aggressive attacking our teachers. Unless you were invited as a guest, the parents of Middletown deserve to know that information, if you were invited and who invited you. As well, I'd like to know if your board knew that you were going to do this on their behalf. Both Middletown and Homedale residents deserve to have that answer. If it was done voluntarily as just your own unsolicited advice, speaking for myself, I felt it was not welcomed, as I'm sure you wouldn't welcome it if any other school's volunteer decided to do that at your board meeting. Our district is not your business. I was going to explain a little bit of how our district was handling COVID, but it's just not your business. But you already know that. The attack on our administration and our teachers was disgusting. The whole intention to call and rant like you did was clearly politically motivated. Nothing you said was rooted in sound scientific or psychological evidence. Every single article written says the same. Yes, reopen, but it suggests many, many safety protocols and cohorts as reasonable, which is what we do. They do not state that it must be a full reopen if it is not safe to do so. Either you're not reading beyond headlines or you have a comprehension issue, or that was a blatantly, purposely, politically motivated, gross exaggeration. Because to accuse our teachers union of nefarious misdeeds for simply expecting that the health and welfare of our teachers be weighed just like all of our families be not at all considered in phased reopenings like you so aggressively and angrily suggested, unnecessary and uncalled for. That's gross. There is no scientific or psychological expert that suggests discounting the health and well-being of your teachers and implementing all your reopening without considering them, because they're not magically immune from this. They are more at risk out of any population inside our school buildings. I don't know what you have against your teachers having rights as equal human beings, but we won't operate that way. No one should. That's disgraceful. This is not to be treated as us versus them. They are us. We are them. This is our community. We are in this together. Mr. Wall, you crossed the boundary. You absolutely tried to administer to our school, and you definitely placated to a political talking point in your rant at the public meeting of Middletown's Board of Ed, both of which are violations of your own board's oath. Besides that, to add insult to injury, your wife wrote a disgusting hit piece on our superintendent and our teachers. You both ought to be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for you, for your whole board. That's disgusting behavior reflects on all of you. Both of you, you and your wife, especially you in your role as Homedale board member, that was an egregious display of politics infecting what is traditionally, respectfully supposed to remain apolitical. This should not be treated ever again this way. I would ask that you never decide to do this again, unless you're expressly invited and you get permission from everyone on your own board to speak on their behalf, because you emphasize that. It's not your business. That was not your place. Keep your politics out of the schools. I'm done.
Thank you, Ms. Barrero. First of all, I'd like to say I am the only person that can speak on behalf of the board in accordance with board policies, the law and the procedures. It's my understanding, just in general, I know all of my board members practice the practice of whenever they're speaking on issues that are their public opinion, their own personal opinion, they usually do say that. And I have no reason to understand whether or not Terrence would do anything different than I've seen him otherwise do, which is say he's speaking on his own personal opinion. And if it's political, as you indicated, I don't think he would convey that as an issue or a belief of the board, because he understands, I think, fully that he doesn't speak on behalf of the board president does. But I appreciate your comments and you have taken the time to speak with us as it relates to any legal issues that would, again, refer to our lawyer. But again, we're not going to interfere with any of our board members' ability to speak on issues that they feel passionate about that involves the First Amendment. We can't, and I won't. And if it's something Terrence speaks or any of our board members speak passionately about and believe in, they're permitted to do so as long as they don't represent themselves as speaking on behalf of the board, which I believe everyone here on our board understands. But thank you for taking the time. I know we all wish the students, the families of Middletown the best. I know these are challenging times to go through. There's a lot of opinions all over on these issues. I know here in Homedale, and that's all I can speak on, is I know what we've done here in Homedale, and we have been doing everything we can to create a safe working environment for our staff, for our children, and we always put their interest first. So hopefully you're not under a misimpression that we would ever do anything that would jeopardize the health and safety of our staff or students. But thank you for coming tonight. Ravi, you have a comment?
Yeah, yes, hello, my name is Ravi Sarma. I am a resident of Middletown and I'm calling about the same matter that the previous caller spoke about, which is the comment by Mr. Wall appearing on the Middletown Board of Ed call and making certain statements that were not substantiated and were clearly politically motivated. It does not matter what disclaimer he adds before he expresses his opinion. It matters what he actually says. And what he did say was he invited the Middletown Board of Education members to reach out to all of you to share information and learn from your experiences in terms of reopening and how it was successful in Middletown, in Homedale, and how therefore we should do the same. Let me repeat that. It was not a matter of adding a disclaimer saying it is a personal opinion. What he did say was that he invited the Middletown board to talk to you, the Homedale board and him, to learn from you that reopening schools is perfectly safe and that you're doing a great job of it and that we should get our children back into school, number one. The second thing I want to say is, in keeping with this effort, which was ostensibly to share information between local towns, and so he appeared on our board meeting and gave his comments, I want to speak to the parents and the board at Homedale and share some of our concerns. The reasons why transmission rates are so low is exactly because of the precautions that have been in place since March 2020. We have learned from Israel and Sweden and a whole bunch of other states in the United States that abruptly switching to all students all days full time is a recipe for steep increases in COVID infections and deaths. And let me emphasize that, deaths, because almost 500,000 Americans have now died of this disease. In fact, Israel shut down their schools shortly after reopening for this very reason. We Middletown parents are deeply worried about the health and safety of our teachers, and we pay attention to the concerns expressed by their representatives, and that's the teachers' union. We are following a gradual process of reopening, currently in hybrid state with a few schools that are closed right now and have gone fully virtual. And this is pretty ironic if you think about it, because of these infections, and you're following health department, state and federal guidelines in doing this gradual reopening. And we're keeping an eye on local infection rates, which might compel us to move back to all virtual. Attempts to politicize this matter and smear the teachers' union are not merely divisive, which is bad enough, but they're truly dangerous at a time when we are struggling with a pandemic that has, once again, let me repeat, taken almost 500,000 lives, 400,000 and more lives in the United States right now. And it affects people across the spectrum. Yes, it may affect people of a particular demographic, and that is sad enough, but we do not even know that it is restricted to that. We, the parents of Middletown school children, encourage Homedale parents to reject this divisive rhetoric and this kind of political mischief, and instead work together with the teachers in following proper scientific guidelines that assure the safety of all. The lives of teachers is important, and they are in class and in school all day, and they will not be safe in Middletown, and I'm not going to speak for Homedale, if we open all day full time without paying attention to the infection rates, to the current situation in the town. And that's all I have to say. I really am okay with you folks sharing information with us, but you should do it through the proper channels. You should do it in a manner that is productive, and you should truly avoid this manner of political mischief when we are going through a pandemic. It is time to behave mature and be serious about these matters. This is not politics, and this should not be treated as politics. Thank you.
Thank you, Ravi, for taking the time to come speak to our board tonight. I first want to comment on and respond to your comment that, you know, suggesting that we might not be following our scientific guidelines and how we are reopen our schools. Just like you, you're saying we don't want people in Homedale trying to come to us and provide solutions or talk about these issues, enforce an issue, I guess. Here in Homedale, we are following scientific guidelines. I assure you. So I hope you're not under a misimpression as to our commitment to scientific guidelines, all the guidelines that are being issued with COVID, to make sure, again, that our children and our staff are safe and are learning in a safe environment. We've invested $1.3 million just last summer and throughout the year to create a safe environment to open our schools up to our students, because in our opinion, our board's opinion, our school district's opinion, it is what's best for Homedale. And I admit there's no cookie cutter way in which we could open all schools, and what's the formula that works for Homedale might not work for Middletown. However, from what you are representing, Terrence, to have said at a public board meeting in Middletown, suggests to me what he was trying to create, which is a collaborative, to create this collaboration between the districts. And I would always encourage any member of the Middletown Board of Education, its administration, to reach out to our school districts to see what we've been able to accomplish with some pretty extraordinary measures that have been taken to enhance safety in our district. So I would encourage that collaboration to continue. Quite honestly, I would love to do more shared services agreements and have those kind of conversations with other board members. It's just such a busy time with everything that's going on. So I hope when everyone can take a breath, and I wish everyone could take a breath and try to work together on these issues, I think we could all come, there would be more of those opportunities. But right now it's just day to day working through these issues. Trying to run a school through very challenging times is a heavy order. It's a tall order, and we're appreciative of everything that we do in Homedale. But we're here to help Middletown or any other school district that wants to know what we're doing to see if it would work for Middletown. We don't know. We don't have those details, but we do have the details in Homedale, and we know it's working for us. So again, I understand that Terrence, if he did say he's a member of the board, I know for sure he would be speaking and expressing his personal opinions, and not that as the board, because he's quite aware, as we all aware, that as board president, I am the spokesman of the board. I am the one that tonight, as for example, that comes out and speaks on these issues on behalf of the board. But that doesn't mean myself or my other fellow board members would never say to someone else who's on a different board, hey, what are you doing? We're doing this. Well, how can we help make that work for you? And we would always encourage that type of collaboration. So thank you for your comments tonight. And I just want to assure you that we're doing everything we can to keep things safe here. I hear your passion about these issues. I mean, there's a lot of passion on all the sides of these issues. And I just hope everyone respects everyone's opinion in these issues, because that's what they are, their opinions, and they should be respected. Any other questions? Again, I received an email from a public comment from a Miss Michelle Collins, 125 Jumping Brook Road in Lincroft, New Jersey. And she also was writing to express her disappointment discussed with Terrence Wall's comments at a January 26 meeting. Middletown High School recently had to pivot from a hybrid model to a virtual instruction because of an increase in cases. Not sure who invited him, but someone did. These were his words summarized. Homedale is open 5 days a week, full time. It's going great. It's going fantastic. The NJAA has to take a hard look at themselves. This is not about the pandemic at a time. This is about keeping your school shut. I'm just putting that on the record for you. Many schools are open, parochials in particular. My strongest suggestion is to get your schools open, ignore the union rhetoric. Ms. Collins says this couldn't be farther from the truth. He's fooling himself if he thinks we believe this gaslighting. There are subs in classrooms while actual teachers are home quarantining because of exposures. Infections are on the rise among staff and students. Teacher morale is at an all-time low. How dare he take up time during our board meeting to tell us to ignore union rhetoric. Teachers everywhere are working harder than ever before. We are saddened for our fellow educators in Homedale who have to put up with a person who seems to have no respect for his staff. Coincidentally, and then she mentions Jeannie having written a piece on it. And she mentions, we are fortunate to have superintendent who follows science and safety guidelines and not politics, which has no place in our schools. Stick to Homedale. Again, I appreciate Ms. Collins' email, but as I said in that email, you know, I think we all understand there's no cookie cutter perspective. I think we're doing what works for Homedale. I think Terrence is expressing an opinion that's shared by many parents throughout the state. It is a hot topic right now over this issue with schools closed. It's a hot topic throughout the nation. It's on the papers, it's everywhere. So I don't think the mere fact that Terrence is on the board doesn't mean he's discussing the issues and the position of the board when he speaks at a different public meeting. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that's his right to do so. And as long as he says that, he has absolutely every right to do so. And I think everyone understands, and I don't think he represented himself as the president of the board. My job as president of the board is to be the spokesman. So that's that, but thank you for your comments. Debbie Brew has a comment. Hi, Debbie, you're on.
Oh, okay, Debbie Brew, 15 Cindy Lane. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I know I've written some letters. I just wanted to really express my thanks to Dr. Seitz and the entire board for the amazing, and I can't imagine how difficult this whole process has been for the year, but I am so proud that we are continuing to get better and everybody is getting back to school, and that's where everyone should be. And I could not be more proud of the progress we are making. I look forward to more normalcy. I thank you for the chart coming out every week because I think it just shows further the progress everybody is making, and the numbers are very low. And on a last note, I just want to say that I, as most know listening, have grown up in this Homedale School District with Terrence Wall. I have known Terrence my entire life. I could not be more proud of the work he does on behalf of my children and all of our children. And anything that he did yesterday was to support all children, because that is the person I know, that he is doing what is best for our children's peace of mind and mental health. And I think that he was really looking to collaborate with other towns to help us all to get on the same boat. Because if we can all get back, then there are less teachers that are worried about childcare because their kids are virtual still. And I'm sure it's very difficult. It's been very difficult for everyone involved. I completely understand that. But everything is always with good intentions. And I think we all just want to get back some normalcy. So I just thank everyone that has made the effort you have made to continue us on that path, because I'm still Homedale proud. So thank you.
Thank you, Deb, and thank you for your support and the ideas that you've shared during this process and continue to support us, which it's been a tough time for everyone. But again, we wish Middletown and all of our Monmouth County towns the best. And if there's anything we can do to share with them, we would do it. Normally we have a county board of education, school boards association, and it's hard, you know, we don't meet anymore. I did reach out to the president. We're going to have a president's council soon, and hopefully that will also provide a way where we could share ideas and thoughts amongst the board. So again, I agree, like we're just trying to share the ideas with other districts. And we will, I know Dr. Seitz would open up the doors of Homedale. If anyone needs, has any questions, he's there to answer those questions to help any district, if they can, to get open, if it can work for them. So thank you again for your support. Kim DeSillo. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, Kim DeSillo, 21 Huntley Road. I'm going to just jump on something that Mr. Reddy had said in talking about the guidance counselors. And, you know, my oldest is now a sophomore in high school, in college, sorry, and, you know, went through Homedale High School. And one of those things that we did find lacking in the department was, like, we felt like they were very behind. I have a sister that is a director of guidance, and her information, like, I would just ask her for the information as far as colleges, because the information coming from Homedale was so much later than what her district was sending. Like, she started, you know, you're looking junior year for, you know, that's when we all start looking. And there's even like college day where they all come, you know, the schools come. And my son asked as a junior to go to the college fair, and he wasn't allowed. They said it was for seniors only. But by the time you're a senior, you're hopefully, you've narrowed it down. You know where you're going. You're already, you know, you've already visited colleges and things like that. So, you know, just we definitely, you know, as Mr. Reddy said, like, there are a lot of parents that do pay for college counseling. And I think it's just because there's a lack of that guidance that's been here. So, you know, being that I still have three more to go up and lots of nieces and nephews to go through the system as well, I do hope it's something that, you know, can be fixed in the future. So, you know, I'd love to see that. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment and your perspective. It's it's very helpful. And I hope all of your kids have nothing but success as they go through all this. That's an additional stressor for all of our parents and students right now.
You know, Vicki, I've heard that a lot from parents, like juniors, sophomores, like looking to go to whatever college is in the building. I mean, I don't know for the life of me why we would prevent or stop a kid that has interest in looking at Fordham University, whatever school might be in the building, because the kids don't know where they want to go. I mean, if anything, it's just free information. And, you know, it would just help them, you know, down the road. Hey, by the time senior year comes, at least, oh yeah, I know I don't want to go to that school. I saw them. I mean, I hope we're not doing that. I truly hope we're not doing that. If we are, I'd love to really know why. So that's my comment.
Thanks, Pete. Seeing no more questions, at this point in the meeting, we would go into executive session if needed, and it's not. We did a great job during our initial executive session.
President, point of order. I'd like to make a brief comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just want to thank Carrie and Michelle and Tucker, I believe, and Robbie, I believe the other gentleman was, for exercising the First Amendment rights tonight. I think it's really important that folks speak out and share what they're thinking, whether it's in this district or, frankly, any district, because opening schools up for children across the state is extremely important. It's a prerogative of Dr. Fauci, Governor Murphy, the CDC, pediatric associations, mental health associations, and more. There's been a spike, as folks know, if they're looking at the documentation, in suicide ideation, depression, anxiety, social isolation,
child abuse, and much, much, much more. There's a far broader rationale to ensuring that children go back to what they're used to, what parents have come to deserve and expect, particularly working parents or dual working parents, is having their beautiful children back in school. The First Amendment matters. Elected officials are always open to criticism. And unlike private citizens, personal attacks are also very much fair in the public square, regardless of whether they're connected or disconnected from the items that they're representing. I would urge any folks, particularly any students that are interested in the social sciences and the political sciences, to go listen to the Middletown Board of Education meeting and listen to the actual comments that I shared to the district. The conversation was never about teachers at all, ever. We love our teachers. The political organization, the NJEA, was a topic of discussion, but I'd urge folks, instead of belaboring it tonight, go listen to the audio and then judge for yourself whether or not the folks who are having comments tonight were connected or disconnected from the actual text of my comments, which was on my own behalf and not as a representative of the Homedale Board of Education, a town that I've grown up in and live in with my family. So the personal attacks on myself or my family, they're, it's part of the process. But for people that are in different districts, you were able to hear a fantastic report of a school that worked very hard, as other schools are trying to do throughout the state, to hear the results of, and by the way, in person, as this board meeting is, we're here tonight because of the hard work of our educators, our teachers, our support staff, our administrators, our custodial staff, the folks who make it work, and our professionals and our vendors. It's a mosaic bringing so many people together for such an important reason during this tragic yet receding pandemic. So we love our teachers, and the union, though, is a political organization. Just clarifying again, there's no reference to the teachers. The union is not the teacher. A union is not an educator. There's a clear difference. It's a different dynamic and a different goal and objective. What Ms. Collins didn't share in her email was her recent assault in print against the Homedale schools, where she referenced NJEA Facebook pages with profanities that I won't dignify tonight. But she spends a great deal of time on social media. I would suggest you look it up and you could see the profanities that I won't dignify this evening that tied to, allegedly, according to her, NJEA Facebook pages, the political organization that have been assaulting the good work of the Homedale district, which, by the way, includes the teachers that pay dues to that union. Middletown Homedale has the key port. All of the contiguous communities that we have here benefit greatly by following the CDC, science, the pediatric and mental organizations that I referenced earlier, and more by fully opening. And I'll give you a very simple reason. What are districts struggling with now more than ever? Staffing. When our contiguous districts in our region, in our area, when we're all open and we're all collaborating and coordinating our efforts to be open, that tremendously helps our educators who would have to no longer face the dual challenge of work and family life and that incredible balancing act. So if Middletown or Homedale's closed and Middletown's open or Hazlet is closed and Keyport's open and that kind of thing, many folks who work in and around the districts also live in and around the districts. So that would tremendously assist from a staffing and a quality of life standpoint for the staff, for the educators. What's happening also in Chicago, Montclair, Elizabeth, Newark, and Jersey City, and other cities who have shut down for extended periods is really sad. It also deeply affects low-income areas, people of color, and areas who we should be aggressively serving as a community, disadvantaged areas, folks whose children rely on the schools to eat, and are closed until April. So on the personal family tax, the attempts at cancel culture tonight, I don't have much to say about that. I'll leave it with the individuals and their representations that they've made. But when local boards of education communicate on issues that are large and small, we all benefit from their knowledge and experience. I thank the Middletown Board of Education, and I thank all the local boards of education in all their efforts, and look forward to learning from others as well as sharing our knowledge with them It's all about the children and the science and the collective wisdom of the experts that our children are back in school where they belong. Thank you.
Thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second.
Show of hands. Okay, thank you everyone and have a wonderful night. I can't hit the gavel. I don't have the gavel.
Night.